With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, loads of us get stress dreams about the Leave and Cert, but did you ever have one where you gave birth while doing the Leave and Cert? It's no wonder my next guest did, as she successfully attempted to have a baby in May and then do the Leave and Cert in June, and it was so stressful, it's taken her 21 years to write a book about it. Comedian, podcaster, and now author, Emma yes. Doran's new book, Mad, Isn't It? Is out now. Emma, you are so welcome to the show today. How
Thanks
are you?
Thanks for having me. You really summed it up. In perfectly there. I was like, that's what happened.
I need to start off immediately yes. with the fact that you open the book with, let's talk about the boobs. Or I'm going to start it with the boobs. As yes. soon as I saw the word boobs and full stop, I was like, I was like, this is the book for me. I love it.
Boobs. I mean, that it's a big time in your life.
Yeah.
When you start getting them, you don't know what you're going to end up with. You could have said goodbye to your friend in school in June and he's come back and all of a sudden she has boobs and nobody knew about it. None of us had phones or anything like that. Boobs were popping up all over the place. So they're very important. I was fascinated by them. Still am. Who doesn't love boobs?
I know,
we all love
great.
Boobs.
Emma Power was one of those kids that, like, you know, finished like sixth class, went into first year and had knockers.
Oh, was a woman.
Like proper.
A woman. Yeah.
Went into first year, didn't
oh,
know what
jealous
to do.
Of her. Totally jealous.
One of the bits I loved is when you write about being a kid and the difference between coming out and a coming in person. Like,
yes.
tell us about that.
So I was a coming out person. So if somebody knocked it in for me,
yeah.
I was going out. I wasn't bringing them into my house. I loved going into other people's houses.
Living a different life.
Exactly. So much more interesting. They have different foods in their house. They have a different setup. I didn't have any sisters. They might have a sister. I loved having it. Like, now I wouldn't be looking at presses or anything.
Yeah,
their parents might have different rules about TVs. A friend of mine had a TV room that the kids got to use and no adults came in. I was like, this is amazing. I was one of those kids that was listening to hear when someone was coming to change. You know, I get caught watching something I wasn't supposed to be watching. So, yeah, I love. And I'm still kind of a going out person. I'm
cozy.
Yeah, let's meet in yours. Meet in yours before we head out. I'm still kind of one of those people.
I love
having a nosy.
Teenage Emma.
Yes.
Combined self-confidence and low self-esteem and smoked to the point that she sounded like Ronnie Drew with a head cold.
Yeah.
At the age of 15. If you could speak to her now, do you think she'd listen?
No, not
yeah,
at all.
Of course she wouldn't.
She'd look at me and say, who's that L one? Do you know what I mean? And she'd be like, what is she wearing? And she'd be like, get some heels on you. What's the story? Get the legs out. Where's the cleavage? She wouldn't listen to me at all. And I think as well, you know the way sometimes people might say, oh, what would you say to your younger self? I'm quite philosophical about it. I was like, I wouldn't tell her anything.
Yeah.
Because even all the bits that were like, ooh, cringy or sticky or whatever, you need to go through all those bits to come out to where you are. So I wouldn't tell her. I might tell her to leave the smokes like that. Maybe I would just tell her that, because
it was also a different time though. Like it really was. Like
totally.
Smoking now is so dirty, and you look at anyone who's smoking, you're like, oh, like what are you at?
I know. And even anyone who's like still, you know, unfortunately addicted, they don't want to be either.
No.
You know, they're just like, oh God, you know, I really have to give this up or whatever. Yeah, it was everywhere.
At the time, it was like, you know, the 10-pack of John Player Blue. It was like
very
everyone had
kid
it.
Kid pack.
Yeah, it was.
Essentially.
It was so mad. And, and it wasn't that long ago. So
not that long ago.
Yeah. So that's the only thing.
I think that's the only thing.
The book is hilarious. And as
Thanks.
I said from the get-go, I mean, I bounced out when you arrived in the production area.
You
here.
Did, yeah.
I
so
love
nice.
The book.
Like, you did, yeah.
I really
so nice.
Do. It's like, it is, you know, it's a perfect telling of your life, but in your manner. It's the way you talk. So it's a really easy read and you are chuckling along to it. It is kind of deep too. Can you tell us a bit about the letter that you wrote to your mom?
Oh, yeah. So when I was, when I was in sixth year and I found out I was pregnant, and I like one of my friend who went to Corktown with me, she knew, but nobody else knew. And I knew it was getting to the point where I was going to have to tell my mom. I was going to have to tell her. And I just could not tell her. The words were just like, it just physically wouldn't come out of my mouth. It wasn't even a case of like, you know, you have to clear your throat before you say it, or just wouldn't come out. So I wrote her a letter. And as well, I think I wrote the letter because, you know, I wanted to like try and paint the picture of okay, I'm going to tell you, you know, I just like kind of cue it up a little bit, like, you know, I'm totally innocent. I don't know how this happened. And I'm, you know, I'm still like a good girl. And, you know, this kind of big, long letter. And I left it on the kitchen table and I left because I didn't even want to see her seeing it or anything like that. And I ran across the road to my friend's house to kind of hide out. I hadn't told her I was using her house as a hideout at all. I was like, hey, how's it going? Let's go into this room right now. Going in, person.
Going in, yeah.
So then my mom called over to her house fairly quickly after. And I just kind of knew that it was her. And I went out the door and I saw her face. But the only thing I remember is that she just hugged me. She just hugged me straight away. And I just like fell into her arms because in a way I'd been avoiding my mum for weeks. Mm. I'd be kind of shuffling around her, you know. I didn't want to be giving off any signs of anything. And my friend is just standing there thinking, what is going on here?
What's happening?
And it was just, yeah, just that moment I will never forget it because I don't think at the time I realised that that's what I needed.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I needed in that moment. I just needed, I was still a kid.
You were a child.
I just needed my mammy to hold me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that age where you're kind of, and it's totally normal. You're kind of pulling away from your parents a bit, you know, because you want to be an adult and independent. But I totally needed my mammy. I needed my mammy.
But, like, it is amazing, Emma, because it was a different Ireland. Like,
let's
think about it. Even when I was, like, growing up as well, it was a different landscape completely. It was a terrifying thing to be in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
But your mom handled it so well. And the support that your family gave you is just so clear. And the way that you write about it is brilliant. Like from then on, like, what was the support? Like, how did she build you up from there?
Yeah, so from there, I think she was just like a really practical person. And as well, like, she's a woman who has lived a life and grew up in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She knows. It's obviously it's the first time her daughter is saying that to her, but she knows. So I think she was able to park her worries initially with me, you know what I mean? And she just went into total action mode. We basically kind of, I say in the book, like, we went on tour. we were doing our press, you know. We went to like the GP, we went to the school, but I think just even apart from like the, you know, the practical hands-on support, what she did for me was she, and I think it's something that if your mother is able to do this for you, and it doesn't really matter at whatever age when you're having a child, if she can give you confidence in your own motherhood, because that's who you learn how to be a mother from a lot of the time is you look, well, how I'm going to do
how
it.
This is how my mom did it.
Yeah. And this is how we're doing it. So she really filled me with confidence. She never kind of said to me, I don't know if you'll be able to handle it, or you'll find this part very sad, or you know, this part very hard. And I remember I used to go through these phases of, as it was getting closer, I kind of explode into the kitchen. I'm like, yeah, but what about the birth? You know, it's suddenly dawning you again.
What's happening?
And she said, it's what your body is designed to do. She's like, you're young.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, being young actually with this thing is going to be a huge benefit for you. And I'm like, okay, I'll check back in again. So like, she tried to get me to focus on all the positive parts around it and that I was strong and capable. And she just really, she was like a little coach.
Clearly worked.
Just a total cheerleader. I'd say she was exhausted after the whole thing.
I would imagine she was absolutely wrecked.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'd say she was.
The total isolation that you felt, though, from your friends, like, let's be realistic about this.
Yes.
It was so fantastic to have your mom's support and to know that you could handle this. But then you were missing out on those milestones. You did the Leaving Cert, but you weren't getting, you know, the group holiday or like the night out and stuff. Like, all that had to be sacrificed.
All that's gone, yeah. Or even I know when the Debs came around, and now I could have gone to the Debs, and you know, that is kind of a few months later, but I just felt like so much had gone on that I was kind of like, oh, this kind of feels, you know, this kind of feels weird. Even going back in to school to do my Leaving Cert and putting on the uniform again, I was kind of like, this is weird. I was like, you know, even for young adults now doing their Leaving Cert and they're, you know, going back to the school, it's kind of, it is like a little bit of a strange feeling because you're feeling, you're making like grown up decisions about what you want to do and all, you know, it's kind of strange. But yeah, all my friends kind of went off and did, you know, exciting things and whatever. And I was like going to like local mother and baby groups and, you know, going on pointless walks to get more milk and bread and you know what I mean?
Just get out there.
Just like, you know, walking all the streets everywhere I could. So yeah, at certain points I was like, oh, everyone's kind of off doing exciting things and whatever. But then a lot of the time when I spoke to people after, and not even that long after, you know the way sometimes if you're going through something or it can feel like all your friends are seeing each other all the time.
Yeah.
And somebody kind of said to me, she's like, Emma, we're not seeing each other all the time. Or I went to Australia and it was an absolute disaster. Yeah. And I'm still trying to pay back a loan now. Or, you know, so
it's the rose tinted glasses of it. Even
totally.
When I moved to Dublin and I used to go home and visit everyone in Galway, and then all of my friends would be there. And then I'd be crying in the car coming back up again. And it took one of them to say the exact same thing. It was like, we came together because you're down. We're not going to each other's houses every single day. We all have jobs and like lives and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. Actually, I hate missing out on anything. So
it's
knowing that like everybody's living their own life all the time and they're
totally
going on with
everyone's
it.
Doing, you know, everyone is doing their version of the day-to-day mundane and whatever.
But your daughter, like Ella now, like let's talk about her. Like she's 21 this year, got a first in psychology. Like you must be so proud. And I'd say your bond is so tight.
Do you know what? I am delighted. Do you know the main thing is actually about her, because it's great that I can, you know, pure mammy thing, I can rattle off when she's doing her PhD now in Cork and isn't she fantastic? But actually the best thing is she's so happy and she's so like, she's not like a self-conscious person at all. She's totally herself and I can have, always have been able to have like a mess at her. You know, when those people, you could start dancing in the middle aisle just like for no reason or whatever. So she's just like, she's happy and yeah, she's having a great time. And I'm delighted that she's off living her life and having great crack and all that. And yeah, I feel like we are pretty tight. But at the same time, I'm still fully aware that like, you know, I am her mom.
Yeah.
But now that she's 21, I kind of feel like...
Oh, you can be your friend as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
but you don't have to be best friends. Like, well, you can all do your own thing, but it's great that you get on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
There's a mix of both in it.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what she's going to get up to and all, you know, all that kind of thing. But she really has been... My brother always would have said that she was like rebelling against me. I never really had any...
Yeah.
There wasn't any major teenage stuff. And, you know, I would have been like... I was said to her early, like, you know, teens, if anyone ever gets into trouble, call me and I'll be there and I won't tell anyone. It'll be all good. And like, you know, I was like building myself up as this
cool
mom.
Yeah.
No phone calls. Nothing happened.
Anita.
I was expecting mad stuff and it was just, there was nothing.
It's the old age thing. It's like, if you can have that open relationship, sometimes I tell you, you don't want to do anything. The cracks in doing stuff behind your mom's back.
That way, I mean, I loved that.
So
I loved hatching the plans.
Yeah.
We're going to meet at this
get
time.
Get away with it.
You tell your mom you're here. I'm going to tell my mom. Like all of that. I can't. So when you don't need to do that, it's kind of like, oh, whatever.
Oh, where's the crack in telly? Johnny's come over to my house.
Yeah.
Do you know
exactly.
what I mean? It's like, well, she's going to know anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Emma, it is a great read.
Thanks so much.
I'm excited about other people to read it, and especially my friends, so that I can talk some about it.
Oh,
I genuinely like loved it so
brilliant.
Much. That is Emma Doran's new book, Mad, Isn't It? It is in all good bookshops now. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
We'll be right back after these.
FM with Laura Fox. Podcast.